This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham, sitting in for Cynthia Canty. On October 16th, U.S. District Judge Bernard Friedman will be hearing a case which challenges Michigan's constitutional ban on gay marriage. Now, the case didn't start out that way. It started out as a court case to simply protect the futures of these three little kids.
My name is Ryan.
How old are you?
Three.
Three? What's your name?
Jacob.
Jacob?
Yeah.
How old are you?
I'm big. My name is Nolan.
And how old are you?
Four.
Ah, nice to meet you.
Now, these three really don't understand such things as government, lawyers, and courts. They only know they have a happy home with their two moms.
I am April DeBoer, and my daughter, Ryan DeBoer Rouse.
And I'm Jane Rouse, and my sons are Nolan DeBoer Rouse and Jacob DeBoer Rouse.
Now, DeBoer and Rouse wanted to jointly adopt their kids to better protect their futures. The state of Michigan argued, no way, they can't. They're not married. Their case has become the most anticipated development in lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people's rights in Michigan. They're involved in a federal court case that challenges the state's constitutional amendment that bans same-sex marriage. The two women explained they had no intention to challenge the gay marriage ban. Jane Rouse says that's something the judge suggested.
So what Judge Friedman said was basically looked at the state and said, so this hinges on marriage. And the state said yes, and he said, so what it sounds like to me is you guys need to challenge the marriage amendment. And we all kind of looked at each other and went, he just did not suggest that we challenge gay marriage. And he did.
You two weren't looking for this fight. It came to you, it sounds like.
Oh, yeah.
We were not looking for the marriage amendment fight. This has never been about us getting married. This has been about our rights and our children's rights and protecting them. You know, it's one thing when you're looking at second parent adoption. You know, this is about the kids. People see it about the kids. When you start talking about the marriage amendment, it's more about our relationship and what we want. And that gets a little bit scarier because people have, you know, are a little more opinionated about a marriage, a gay marriage, than they are about children having two parents.
To talk about this case and other LGBT rights issues are Emily Devendorf, who is Managing Director of Equality Michigan, and Jay Kaplan, who is Staff Attorney for the American Civil Liberties Union of Michigan. Thanks for coming in, you guys. So let's talk about this case a little bit. Jay, let's start with you. Why is this case filed by DeBoer and Rouse being watched so closely?
Well, because it hinges on whether or not Michigan's amendment, constitutional amendment, which denies gay couples the right to get married, whether or not that's constitutional, and it will have an impact because it's a federal challenge against a prohibition on the fundamental right to marry. So everybody will be watching to see how Judge Friedman decides.
Now, if the court were to decide Michigan's constitutional amendment banning same-sex marriage is invalid, what would happen in Michigan?
Ultimately, the case will be decided in the federal appellate courts with regards to the right to marry, all the way up to possibly the United States Supreme Court.
So let's stop right there. So Michigan was one of like 13 states in 2004 which had this constitutional amendment. Each state had a constitutional amendment to ban same-sex marriage. Would all of those states be affected?
No. If for a federal district court decision, it would only impact Michigan. For the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals, that would cover the states of Michigan, Ohio, Tennessee, and Kentucky that are part of the Sixth Circuit. Only a case that would go up to the United States Supreme Court would affect all of those states. But obviously, any federal challenge now on the issue of marriage equality can have an impact on efforts all across the country.
So this is going to take probably years before we find out anything. In the meantime, Emily, what do groups like Equality Michigan do? What are you advising people who'd like to get married and like to have it recognized in Michigan? And what kind of prep do you do in case everything went the way of the LGBT community?
Yes, Equality Michigan expects that the LGBT community, our partners and our families, that we need to keep on keeping on, that we need to keep the pressure on. And that means continuing to fight through the legislature and try to pass public policy that is equal and fair for LGBT citizens, as well as to try to treat the symptoms of the disease of discrimination by providing for our victim services departments that help the LGBT community, and also to build a really strong, robust marriage equality movement in Michigan, which Equality Michigan is intent on doing within the next year and a half so that we can win at the ballot in 2016.
I want to talk to you about the definition of marriage just a little bit. The state filed in the case arguing that limiting marriage to heterosexual unions is important to regulate sexual relationships between men and women so that the unique procreative capacity of such relationships benefits rather than harms society. Now, I'm not a lawyer. I don't know what that means. But when I hear the state is regulating sexual relationships, I get a little concerned about something like that. What does that mean, first of all, Jay?
Well, there's very little validity in that argument because the state doesn't regulate sexual relationships between opposite-sex couples, and denying same-sex couples in a committed relationship the fundamental right to marry does not further procreative efforts of heterosexuals, nor does it stop that. We don't condition the legal right to a civil marriage on whether or not a couple is going to have children or is able to have children.
Now, when the U.S. Supreme Court ruled earlier this year regarding the Defense of Marriage Act and regarding the estate case involving Edie Windsor, there was some writing about what is marriage. Emily, what did the Supreme Court say in its decisions?
Yes, the Supreme Court ruled that DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act, violated, and these are their words, the basic due process and equal protection principles. The court decision in Windsor acknowledged that marriage is not inherently defined by the sex or sexual orientation of the couple, and the court recognized that marriage is a way for couples, including same-sex couples, to define themselves by their commitment to each other and to live with pride in themselves and their union and in a state of equality with all other married persons. And that is to say, the Supreme Court of the United States defined marriage not as being between one man and one woman, but being an institution of providing stability to our partners, to our families, a way to care for those in our lives that we love.
So now we have this situation where the federal government does, at least for taxes and spousal benefits, recognize same-sex marriage in states that allow it. Some states do, but the majority of states do not. So we've got this real quilt patch arrangement in the United States. Some of the same-sex couples I've interviewed are waiting for the results of the DeBoer-Rouse case or the 2016 initiative to decide whether they actually even stay in Michigan anymore or go somewhere that's more friendly to them. How might that affect Michigan and how people view Michigan?
Well, I think, you know, it's very telling that we've seen a loss in terms of population, especially young people, college-educated young people leaving our state. I think when we send a message with our policies that you're not included or you're not considered to be equal to me or you're not entitled to the same dignity that my family is or my relationship is, people don't want to stay here and they also don't want to come here. Even aside from the issues of fairness and treating people with dignity, there's a strong economic argument that can be made for our state. I know the governor was quoted as saying, you know, with regards to this issue, he's focusing on the economy. Well, there's an economic issue here. The states that do allow same-sex couples to marry, they've seen, you know, hundreds of million dollars in additional revenue coming to their state and people wanting to be in those states. I mean, look at Illinois. If Illinois by this fall allows same-sex couples to get married, that's less than, 4 hours away from Ann Arbor. People are going to start to reconsider, you know, do we want to stay here? Do we want to wait for this thing where our relationships aren't being recognized, where we're not being afforded and accorded the same kind of recognition by the state that even the federal government gives to us?
That's Jake Kaplan with the ACLU, and we also have Emily Devendorf with Equality Michigan. Same question to you. What kind of impact will these decisions, if we continue to drag our feet on this idea of marriage equality, as some call it, or abolishing this amendment of the Constitution that bans same-sex marriage, if there is no progress on those two fronts from your perspective, what will that mean to Michigan and the view of Michigan from outside?
Yes, as both a victim services organization and also one that does political work for the LGBT community, we hear very regularly that LGBT families do not feel safe and supported in Michigan and feel like they have to go elsewhere. The economic argument that we make when we talk about attracting the best and brightest and holding on to our college graduates, it is based on the fact that those that go into the much coveted STEM fields, the science, technology, engineering, and mathematics that Michigan would like to grow and really be dominant in, those that go into those fields tend to be attracted to states and municipalities that have open and diverse communities that protect their citizens. They want to be in a place where the culture is progressive and is conducive to the corporations, the business, and the government caring for its citizens.
There's a lot of discussion about gay marriage. It's the hot button topic right now, but I wonder if that doesn't pull attention away from other issues. In this state, it's legal to fire someone because they're gay, or even if they just seem gay, or because of their gender expression. LGBT people can be denied housing in many circumstances. They can be denied service in a restaurant or a hotel. The anti-gay rights folks say business folks should be protected from being forced to serve or hire lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender people if that would violate the business owner's own religious convictions or moral principles. So where are we in that debate? We're basically talking about the Elliot Larson Civil Rights Act and whether LGBT community members should be protected under that Civil Rights Act. Emily, let's start with you on that.
Yes, what's interesting is the business community has already stepped up to the plate on this one. More than half of all Fortune 500 companies already offer domestic partner benefits to their employees. They already make sure that their employees are protected by non-discrimination policies provided by the corporation. But they are shouldering the burden. They are shouldering the burden of creating an environment that is safe and that protects their employees. And they can only go so far to protect their employees and their employees' families, which doesn't necessarily create the kind of protection that makes a family, an LGBT family, or those that we talked about earlier, that those young professionals that want a diverse community, to want to stay in that community where that Fortune 500 company would like to grow. And that means that our businesses are wanting to see the government step up, the government to make the decision to do what is best for business, what is best for Michigan, and that is to provide for everybody equally so that we will not have that economic stability. And we need to see that happen. As much as we need to see marriage equality happen, we need to make sure that somebody can't get married on Friday and then come to the office with the picture from their wedding on Monday and be fired for who they love.
Jay, let's talk about that concern about those who oppose gay rights or gay marriage. We've heard the story about the wedding bakery. We've heard the stories about the wedding photographers who didn't want to in states that have passed these laws. And they found that they were either, they say, driven out of business because of their opposition to gay marriage, or that they felt like they were being discriminated against because they held these beliefs. How do we find balance in that area?
Well, I think we have a history of balance in this area. We certainly, you know, our Constitution certainly protects the right to religious beliefs and freedom of religion, and it deals with religious activity. When you engage in non-religious commercial activity like a business, a photography business, or a bakery, you're subject to various laws and regulations, health code regulations, building code regulations, payroll taxes, as well as civil rights laws. And you don't get an exemption for non-religious activity to discriminate based on a religious belief. I mean, I could turn around that equation and say, what if the baker didn't want to bake a cake for a biracial couple because it violated their religious beliefs for someone who's African-American and Caucasian to marry?
But Jay, we're not talking about putting a whites-only sign out. We're talking about putting a straights-only sign out, and there's no protection in the state for that.
Well, when we talk about civil rights protections, we hear from opponents saying that we don't want to see these categories codified in law because it will violate my religious beliefs to discriminate. Everyone has a right to believe in what they believe. They don't necessarily have a right to discriminate under the law or under our Constitution.
Let's talk about codifying some of the religious liberties protections you're talking about in law. The legislature is considering legislation that would protect religious liberties of some groups, some of which are on state contracts saying their religious convictions can be used beyond state guidelines to make decisions in placing children in foster homes or adoptions. You've both testified and heard testimony on this issue this session and past sessions of the legislature. Will the state codify religious convictions in state contracts?
I hope not. I hope not, because basically what this piece of legislation is doing is saying allow us to discriminate, allow us to pass over what might be in the best interests of the children in order to promote a particular religious viewpoint. And once again, these are agencies that are receiving state dollars to do the work and the responsibility of the state. They are government actors. They're government agents. And we have a little thing in our Constitution called separation of church and state. The government's not in the business of promoting one particular religious viewpoint over the other. I hope they don't become law, because really who gets hurt are children, children who linger in foster care or linger in the state system who need a placement.
I got to tell you, 2013 has been a fascinating year, because we have seen LGBT civil rights move astonishingly fast, astonishingly quickly compared to ever other civil rights issues throughout history. Are we starting to get ahead of society, getting out in front of the people's will, or are you still backed by the polls, which show how people feel one way or the other about LGBT rights?
I would say in Michigan, we're still experiencing a crisis of leadership. We never want to discount the progress that's being made nationally, because we are so grateful for it. And as we saw with the striking down of DOMA and the IRS decisions recently, that there will be relief provided to Michigan citizens as a result of federal changes. However, as long as Michigan does not make progress itself, as long as Michigan citizens are still living in this void of protections, we really do not represent the forward motion of the rest of the country. And we are at risk of losing Michigan citizens, which doesn't just hurt our economy. It means that we are every day, again, harming Michigan citizens. So I don't want to get too caught up in celebrating the national progress. We should be grateful for it, but we should also be recognizing that that isn't necessarily happening at home until we demand that our leaders represent our values and make decisions on our behalf.
Jay, are the things that the ACLU would like to see, and the things that groups like Equality Michigan, are you guys getting ahead of the people's will or not?
I don't believe so. When you look at the polling, majority of Michiganders do favor civil rights protections for LGBT people. They are in favor of marriage equality. Where the disconnect is, we continue to elect leaders to make policy decisions who aren't in sync with those feelings. It's a very exciting time right now, what's happening, the momentum. But we have so many challenges in Michigan. We have one of the most broadly prohibitions on not only on marriage equality, but on relationship recognition. We have court decisions that deny the existence of our relationships and our families. And once again, we lack civil rights protections against discrimination. So we need to take care of all those things.
Jay Kaplan is a staff attorney for the American Civil Liberties Union of Michigan. Emily Devendorf is managing director of Equality Michigan. Thanks very much for coming in.
Thank you, Lester.
Thank you.